strike up the band, so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
Hey, this is James Devine with the Music Ed Podcast, and I've got Karen on the line with me, and she teaches at a small school, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about that and tell her a little bit about what inspired her to get into teaching. Karen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your current position in Lyons, Colorado, and maybe how you got there, how long you've been there, and about the program and that sort of thing.
Okay. It's a long story, so I'll try to abbreviate it. But basically, I have 3 degrees in bassoon performance and no degrees in music education because I didn't really want to be a public school teacher. So when I graduated with my doctorate in the bassoon, I moved back to Colorado because my husband is also from here and we were getting married. And right before our wedding, I had been searching valiantly for college jobs and orchestral jobs in this area and was not coming up with any. So I was just kind of resigned to doing private teaching on the bassoon to make a living while my husband taught. He's also a teacher and he had already secured a job. And just before our wedding, I got a phone call from Ken Anderson at Flesher Hinton, and he said he heard about this job and that they were really desperate, so I should consider applying. And so I applied, and the principal asked me in for an interview, and I interviewed for the job a couple days after our wedding on the way to our honeymoon. And on our honeymoon was offered the job, so we packed up and left and came back, and I started working the very next day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not how I had planned for things to go, but it was really the only stable job offer that I had had, and I was highly qualified for it. So I got an emergency license from the state of Colorado because I had advanced degrees in music and therefore could teach in the public school. And so my teaching assignment was grades 6 through 12, 6th grade beginning band, 7th and 8th grade advanced middle school band, and then a high school concert band and a high school jazz band. And so I, that first year was rough, as any first year teacher, I think, probably experiences. And I also was, I think, the 5th teacher in 4 years or something like that, which is not unusual for a small school to have a lot of turnover. So I made it through that first year, and it was, like I said, it was rough and didn't really know what else to do. So I came back for a second year, and it just got better from there. And now I'm in my 15th year there and don't have any plans of leaving because I find it to be such a rewarding teaching position. And I love the community, and I love the small school atmosphere, and I love the community. So it's been a really good thing. My teaching assignment has increased substantially. So I still teach those 4 main ensembles and still teach grades 6 through 12. In addition, I teach between 2 and 3 other classes, which could be middle school music technology, high school history of rock and roll, high school beginning guitar, high school personal fitness, which I taught for 7 years. And currently I'm teaching a concurrent enrollment class with a local university. So I'm really kind of overseeing it, but not directly teaching it. So I have a pretty heavy course load.
It sounds really interesting. I had no idea that you had been there for 15 years.
Yes.
And when I came to Falcon, I'm in my 11th year here, I kind of had done the same thing where I was like the 6th teacher in 5 years or something like that. And I had no plans to stay at that time. In fact, most of my colleagues here in town said, why would you consider that? But I've been here that long now, and it's been really cool. What are some of the joys and maybe some of the challenges of working in a small school?
Well, first I have to say that I don't have any experience working in a large school. So I don't really have a basis of comparison other than what I've gained from talking to my peers also in the music profession. But I can say that one of the things I really love about teaching in a small school is I think I get to know more of the student population outside of a music program than I think the average teacher in a large school does. And that is because, simply there aren't as many kids in the program, but I have so many kids in the program. How do I say this? Such a high percentage of the school population is in the band program, which is definitely the case often at successful small school programs. So currently I have 40 to 45% of the school population in the band program, but I get to know their friends and I get to meet other kids on the other athletic team through the kids in my band program that participate in that stuff. So I feel like I have a good relationship, not just with my students, but with the other students in the school, which really kind of helps with, you know, this positive school atmosphere, connecting with the school at large. So that's one thing that I really love. The other thing I really love, and I will address that, addresses one of your later questions, is the relationship I have with the community. And it really, sorry, my children are coming in. but I have a great relationship with the people in the community, because in a small school, in a small community, the band is really central to community events. Okay, I was talking about community. So you had asked me about the best and the worst parts of teaching at a small school. Okay, so the community relationship is a big one, and I can talk more about that later. I would say one of the worst aspects to teaching at a small school is that these kids are really pulled in a lot of different directions. And kids these days at any school are busy, and I think that kids at small schools are exceptionally busy. They tend to be more involved in a variety of activities. So I have 80 students in my high school band, and of those, at least a quarter of them are in track, as an example. So they in the spring have long hours at practice and at meets. I have, out of those 80 kids, I probably have 15 or 20 in basketball, and I have several in yearbook, and I have several in show choir. So they're really stretched in a lot of different directions. And so I have to have a lot more flexibility, I think, than people in larger schools, because I have a responsibility to share those kids, to allow them to participate in those different activities and to thrive in that setting.
So there's no like specialization like you might see sometimes in a bigger school. Sometimes kids have to pick one activity or another, and that has to be their whole life.
Exactly. I grew up that way for sure. School I went, you did band or you did sports. It was uncommon for kids to do both. And there were some that did, but I know that they were put in a lot of situations where they simply had to choose what they were going to do, because the music directors and the athletic coaches were not accustomed to having to be flexible and to share those students.
What advice or encouragement would you give to someone who's considering a small school?
I think that people considering a small school should know and be prepared for the challenges of, how do I say this? I think at small schools, students and their parents can feel very, like they have the ability to get rid of teachers that they don't like, more so at a large school. And I think that happens a lot because a lot of these are in small communities. And so you might have kids who decide they don't like a band director or a choir director or whatever, and they can band together and really essentially force that teacher out of the school and out of the community. And I think that that happens a lot more at the small schools. And so I think teachers taking those jobs, whether they're following a director that was not successful, or if they're following a director who was very successful, I think that happens. And that if those educators can stick it out, the rewards are more than worth it when they are able to stay and build those relationships and build a program.
That sounds like really good advice. I think, I wonder if almost anybody coming in new to any band program is going to face some resistance, but probably more so in a smaller school.
I agree. I think any director faces resistance in any capacity, but I think in a small school, the parents can be more powerful in determining who stays and who goes. So I just think young teachers need to be prepared for that, and just know that if they can muscle their way through the first 2 or 3 years, that it's absolutely worth it.
Great, very great advice. Many young people might actually shy away from a smaller school, especially if it's in a rural community. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, one of the concerns I have about people teaching in small communities is that a lot of people take those jobs under the assumption that they will only be there for a year or two, and they see those jobs as simply as stepping stones to something that they might consider bigger and better. And that, I think, is doing a disservice to both the educator themselves and to the students. Certainly by having 4 or 5 teachers in 4 or 5 years is not good for a musical development of a student or a program. And so you're really putting those kids at a disadvantage. And I think that they are not learning about the collaborative aspect of music. And then I think that it is damaging to the teacher also, because they are not allowed to grow over the course of a couple of years and experience the different stages of growth that a band or orchestra or choir program might go through. And so I think that they are not setting themselves up for being mature educators before they head off into another first year at a new program. Uh-huh. And I've seen that a lot, where you have young teachers who are only spending a year or two at each program. And so by their 7th or 8th year, they're not teaching like 7th or 8th year teachers. They're still in that beginning stages of growing a program.
I feel like there was a change that happened when I hit a decade. I can't even describe what it was that changed. I don't know if the change was in me or because I became one of the oldest people in the building, but I could see a big change happening then.
I completely agree with you. And I think you earn a lot of respect from the students and the community members and the other faculty if you have been there for a while and you are comfortable with the policies and the procedures and the culture and all that stuff, whether or not it's a small or a large school.
Karen, any final words of advice to directors of small schools or band directors in general?
I just can't overstate how rewarding it has been to teach at a small school. I think that the benefits of being in a small school and having that school be such a big part of community events is really incredible. For example, the school where I teach, we are the only school. So when we have Friday night football games, they are a community event, and it's not just about the fans of that school or that football team going to watch it. It's that's what the community does on those Friday nights, and it becomes really a celebration of that community. Same goes for our holiday parades, Halloween, and our Christmas parade of lights. It all really focuses around the band, and those kids get to be celebrity status, which is not necessarily how it works in a community that might have 3 or 4 or 5 high schools, all that might participate in those same marching events where, the excitement of each band is a little bit diluted because there's many of them. I think that just allowing those kids to be celebrities in their own community is really exciting and really fun. And I feel like I have some extra opportunities through community support because there is just one instrumental music program in our community. So I find it extremely rewarding. I love it. And the kids thrive in those small schools when they have somebody consistent and passionate in that position.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming onto this podcast and sharing your words of wisdom and advice.
No problem. I'm glad to be able to help.
The Music and Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band.